This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Elusive Tuesday edition of the Yard, I want to give you guys a little bit of detail, kind of what happened. But so yesterday I actually worked as an extra in a movie. Yeah, it's true. And it's a movie called Before Daylight. I'm not sure when it's going to be released. So it's being filmed in Vicksburg. And so spent the day doing that. There's a lot of waiting with that. But no speaking part. I'm just an extra. Yeah, I'm in the background. But still kind of a cool experience. I try to say yes to things as often as I can because you never know. Yeah, you just never know, right? You get out and go do things and you add a little color to your own life. Right, and have neat experiences and meet cool people. And it was a cool experience. And had a chance to meet some cool people. But nevertheless, that should have been the headline. I got home last night and I was going to be record the show then. And I would say about 5 minutes after getting home. And I'm glad I was home. But about 5 minutes after getting home, getting the dog settled and all that sort of stuff, if you can get them settled, found out that my Aunt Teresa Robertson, the wife of my uncle, Skeeter Robertson, who is the legend in Jones County. I could probably do a full show about all the great things he's accomplished in life and the kind of man that he is. But that's to kind of give you some context of who Teresa is. We got the word last night that she felt some pain about 10 days ago, went to the doctor. And then we found out a couple days ago, or they found out, we found out last night that she was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And she departed this earthly existence last night to go be with the Lord our God. And so I didn't feel like recording, to be honest with you. I don't feel like recording now, but I'm going to because I owe it to you. But also, too, she would want me to. And it also gives me the opportunity, I guess, to kind of speak with you all about some of that stuff, too. I think all that's important. You know, I think it's important that we talk about things that, you know, that matter, you know. And the sports matter, too, don't get me wrong. But the reality of it is that Aunt Teresa was one of the most special people I've ever known. And I remember being a little kid, and I don't know why. You know, because usually when we went to Ellisville, we stayed with my granny, Mildred Entrican Robertson. That's who we stayed with. But for some reason, we stayed with our cousins and Aunt Teresa and Uncle Skeeter. And I remember thinking how pretty she was. Yeah, she's like one of the only blondes in our family. Like everybody's got dark hair. But anyway, from that moment on, she has been an important person in my life and really in the community of Ellisville, Mississippi, and has been the light of the world to so many. And the thing about having a big family, you know, you got a lot of birthdays to remember, a lot of Facebook posts you got to make, a lot of necks you got to hug when you make those trips, but you also have a lot of funerals when it gets down to the end of it. And but I would trade all of the pain and discomfort, I would trade every bit of that for having these incredible people in my life. And so I share that with you, and I am very emotional because I think about, You know, my Uncle Skeeter, I mean, he's been married to her for 52 years. And, you know, and was with her before then, too. But my Uncle Skeeter is a legend in Jones County. And he was the first ever unanimous all-state selection in the Mississippi Junior College system. And had an opportunity to play college football, but elected to run our family farm. And in many respects, he and Teresa saved our family farm. And I think that's an important aspect of all this, too, that I'm not sure she signed up for that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, here she was dating the football hero from South Jones High School and the guy that was absolutely doing incredible things on the football field at Jones. And next thing you know, she's milking cows. But I never, ever heard her complain about any of that. You know, I mean, she was a true Southern woman with real grit and real charm. And I wrote about this, and I've shared it on a couple forums, but I want to share it with you, too, just kind of, you know, before we move on. But when my dad was dying, I was at the hospital, and my Aunt Teresa was of special comfort to me. She just had a loving way about her. Like, she just was the kind of person that if she hugged you, it just kind of felt like everything in life was going to be okay. And those are the things that remind me of how much we need each other. You know, we get so caught up and, you know, the world tells us that, you know, you always got to do stuff for you. Look out for you. Take care of you. You know, but, you know, at the lowest moments of my life, there have been people that have stepped up and have been there for me. And I could not have made it alone. And she was one of those people. And she made it a little bit easier for me to deal with my dad's passing. And we had a conversation, too, that really kind of changed my whole outlook on life. And I think, to me, this is her legacy as a mother, and as a wife, and as a person. At the time, Ani, my oldest, was one of the best martial artists in the country. And he was a secondary black belt, and we fought on the techno circuit, traveled all over the country. And, you know, Ani eventually had the opportunity he was invited to go work at Elite TKD, or train at Elite TKD in Spring, Texas with Gene Lopez, who was the coach of the U.S. men's national team. He was that good. And, but, you know, it's expensive helping your kids chase their dreams. And there was a lot of travel and a lot of expense that went along with that. And I was kind of talking to her about that. And they were all real proud of him because he'd won all these regional championships and fought all over the country. And there's a lot of expense that goes along with that. And she said something that really just changed it. I'm going to share it with you, too, because I think that she would want you to know. And she said, you know, Steve, me and Uncle Skeeter, we did the same thing. She said, we spent up everything we ever made going to see our boys play ball. And she said, I would not trade one memory of one ball game to have all that money back. And it just kind of settled something in me and kind of made me look at life differently and finances differently. And I think on days like today, now that she has passed away, that what a tribute to her as a mother, that her boys can look back and say, Mama was always there. Mama was always there. Daddy was too. Mama found a way to be there. Not sure what it took. And you know, that's part of the gig too as parents, right? You shield your kids from all that. You just do what is required. But she was always there. And my cousin Joe Michael was the National Junior College Athlete of the Year. And went on to Samford. He wasn't big enough to play SEC football. Went to Samford and then set the school record there for like sacks. And then got his pharmacology degree and then eventually opened Catfish One. And if you know Joe Michael, to know him is to love him. He's an incredible guy. And then my cousin Chuck went to Jones and then wound up at Northwestern State there in Natchitoches. I remember a funny story of the spring game, and Teresa's walking up there, and I think she turned her ankle or something, and she was kind of picking at Uncle Skeeter, and he's like, hey, well, what do you want me to do about it? You know, I'm here to watch the ball game. And she said, well, Skeeter, I'm looking for some sympathy. And he goes, well, let me look around and see if I can't find some for you, you know. And then Jonathan, of course, played at Jones and then went on to play at Delta State. And think about that for a second. I mean, you have three sons and all three of them have the opportunity to be collegiate players in their chosen sport. And she was there for all of it. She was there for all of it. And she was there for all of us too. You know, she was. Maybe not physically there, but, you know, when I did a book signing in Ellisville, really for the family, and I remember her promoting that and supporting that and telling everybody what a big deal it was. It was a bigger deal for me to come home than for them to see me, to be quite honest with you. But she was that kind of person. And so I tell you that to ask you this. Like, what is your legacy? You know, what will your legacy be? And I venture to tell you that it won't be any better than what Teresa Linton Robertson's has been. And I think there is some inspiration that we can all aspire to in that respect. I share all the time with you guys, too. It's not so important you go to the game to see your kid. It's important your kid sees you, right? To know that they matter, that you were invested in their lives. Those things are important. And I don't know that I've ever had a better example of that than my Aunt Teresa. So remember our family in your prayers as you move forward, those of you that are the praying kind. If you're not a prayer, you can think about us nevertheless. But, you know, some difficult days ahead for those that are immediately close to her. It's been hard on me too, but nothing compares to what my Uncle Skeeter and their boys are going through. And so I know a lot of our listeners, we have connections to Jones County, and you know Skeeter, and you know the quality of man that he is. And I don't know that I have been around many men that are better men than him. And so I share that just because, number one, we covet your prayers, but also, too, I think there is a life lesson in all of this, in the life that she led, that can help all of us perhaps lead our lives in a better way, but also to really sow some seeds in the lives of our children and our grandchildren. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company, and we love them because they always come true for us, right? They come through for us because there's a consistency there. You go put your feet under their table, you know exactly what to expect. You're going to get a great meal at a great price and get great service in a great atmosphere. You can't say that about most places. Something is lacking, and in some places, multiple things are lacking. But you go to Bulldog Burger Company, and you're going to walk out a satisfied customer. That's just how it works. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. Find your own favorites on the menu. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, let's recommend the signature burger, the Bulldog. You can't go wrong with that. Like, if that's the only hamburger you ate the rest of your life, you would live life and live it more abundantly. But if you want to venture out a little bit, maybe try the Bryant, the Laura, and ask about the specials. If you don't feel like a burger, but everybody else does, then enjoy the BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. I'm not judging. I am from South Mississippi, so we get ranch on it no matter how the chicken is prepared. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, I'm not going to spend a lot of time recapping the game because a lot has passed since then. But there's some things I do want to talk about in this game, a few things that we'll look at and just kind of discuss. And the first thing that I want to say is it's so easy to get caught up on that last play, right? And rightfully so, right? We should have been in a position to kick a field goal to win the game. Now, it wasn't a chip shot. It wasn't a gimme by any stretch. And, you know, Kyle Ferry had, quote, missed one from 41 earlier. And I don't like the explanation. I don't. I think it's pretty evident that the official missed the call. That's what I think. And the fact that that's not reviewable suggests that we should probably change the replay rules. But it is what it is. We still had an opportunity to overcome that. And in the final minute, the worst case scenario should have been us missing a field goal. I think we can all agree there. And a lot of people, like, they're questioning the play call. And listen, I don't know what play was called. And I don't know that I've got a big, huge objection with the play call. I've got a huge objection with the play execution. Now, if I was doing this like many of you, and even though you don't have any timeouts left, it was second down, I would have run the football and got it exactly where Kyle wanted it to be on the field, and then I'd have gone up and clocked it, and then I'd have kicked a field goal, or I'd have attempted a field goal. And it may be a different conversation today. And as one of my friends texted me and said, you know, Steve, it feels like we're just inventing ways to lose. Guys, I'll be honest with you. In that second half, I did not expect us to win until Blake Shapen got loose on that quarterback draw. They got the ball out in their midfield, and I was like, holy smokes, we're fixing to steal this game. Can you believe it? Let's get ready. It's going to be crazy. And then a first down here, first down there, and it's like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to sit out and kick a field goal. And then they go into a zone blitz, and we throw it to a nose guard. And it sucked. It hurt. And that's the play everybody talks about. But there's a lot of other plays that are worthy of our discussion that maybe would have given us some cushion where we didn't need a last-minute field goal. And that's the thing that I think is really more worthy of discussion. We have to be better in the middle part of the games. There's no offense or buts about it. We have to be better in the middle. Because defensively, our guys are giving us a chance to stay in games, provided I get a little bit of help from the offense. But I really feel like we should have been up two scores at the break. Now, you may disagree. I'm going to go through this and kind of explain what I mean by this. And all of it matters, right? And, you know, we drive down the first drive. And I'll be honest with you guys, on that Camargo touchdown run, I thought it was going to be a TFL. And the fact that he was able to evade a guy and get to the corner to get that ball in the end zone says a lot about him. And then, of course, the Gator chop. And you live your whole life for that, right? As a high school football player, like, if I ever get a chance to score at the Swamp, I'm doing the Gator chop. Camargo gets to do it. And so, we talked about this in the show. We knew that Billy Napier wanted the ball first. You know, we knew it. We did too, because everybody wants to set the tone. That's kind of how the offensive-minded coaches are. But we go down it and we put this ball in the end zone, and then they come back down the field, and it was really a pretty impressive drive for the most part. We didn't do a lot to help them, but it looked like they got in the end zone, but they didn't. It was a trap. And so they end up kicking a field goal. So, again, now 7 games, Florida has scored points on 6 of their first 7 drives of the season. And so, 7-3, so I feel like we had kind of sustained a little bit of a counterpunch there. And then you look up, and we're just kind of rolling through this thing, man. And we put together a decent drive. You know, we take over our 25, and we get it across midfield. And on 1st and 10, we're at their 41. We take a shot here on a post route to a wide-open Brennan Thompson. He is going to score easily, and Blake overthrows him. Brennan Thompson, absolutely, without question, going to score there. If we go up 14-3 right there, what do you think happens with that crowd? They had a lead late, and the fans are chanting, "Fire Billy now." Imagine what the complexity of this game looked like if State goes up 14-3 midway through the first quarter. We had a chance to flip the crowd in our favor. And then, of course, we run for two, and then we get sacked, and we end up on 4th and 14 having a punt. So we get the plus territory and have a chance to make it a 2-score game. We don't take advantage. And then your defense gets a 3-and-out. And then we put together another good drive. You know, you put together a good drive here. And
this Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's #1 rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Again, you're in plus territory. Matter of fact, you get out to midfield on first down, you give it to Booth, he gets 8. Second, 2, and then we take a shot. I'm okay with that. We take a shot to Brennan Thompson. They get a PBU at the goal line, brings up 3rd and 2, and then Camario runs for the first down. There's offsetting penalties here and that kind of stuff, but it's 1st and 10 at their 39, and you're thinking, hey, we're coming in. This is 3 consecutive drives. We've been able to get in plus territory, making some things happen. Camario up the middle for 6, makes it 2nd and 4. I think we're okay with that. 2nd and 4, he goes again. It's 3rd and 2. We're good here, and I'll be honest with you, and again, I'm not a play caller. I felt that if you want to have Camario throw it, and he's going to have to because of the forward pass is a part of football, if Camario throws it here, it's probably going to be a walk-in, right? Because everybody is selling out to stop the quarterback run. And so I didn't like the play call. I really didn't like the 4th down play call. So on 3rd and 2, Camario goes and gets stacked up. And you start thinking, okay, well, we're kind of on the cusp of field goal range. And I think this is a factor to consider too. It makes me wonder if maybe Kyle Ferry's not quite 100%. Maybe. I don't know. Because we elected not to kick it here. We go for it on 4th and 2, and then we run Blake Shapen up the middle for nothing. I don't like that play call at all. At all. If you're going to run that, just keep Camario in the game. You know, we're not that cute. Or, you know, or why not give Camario the opportunity to just hand it off, right? I know it's a zone read concept, but I think Camario is just thinking, I'm just going to keep. But I didn't like how we managed this, and there's a turnover on downs. Now that crowd that should have been on our sides is now ignited a little bit. Now all of a sudden it's like, hey, they're here to play. And what happens? Florida goes down and scores a touchdown. So multiple opportunities for here to get a little separation in the first quarter. And I think it shows that we game planned it pretty well. You know, we kind of had an opportunity to do it, but we didn't execute. We simply didn't execute. They get the touchdown. Now it's 10-7. And then we go 3 and out. And then we get an interception, right? And you think, all right, now we've got a chance to get the lead on the road. And what do you know? We put together another good drive. And again, you're in plus territory. You get across midfield after a Davin Booth run. Get it out to Anthony Evans for 15. Guys, it's 1st and 10 at their 19. Booth up the middle for 4. You feel worst case scenario, we're going to get a tie here. But instead, Xavier Gayton off the right side loses a handle, and it's a fumble. It's a fumble. And they turn that into points and goes down and makes it 13-7. Again, so you miss a wide open touchdown throw, and then you fumble going in here. I mean, like, you begin to kind of see the complexity of this, right? All 3 of those drives should have been scoring drives. They weren't. If any of them proved to be scoring drives, it's probably a different conversation today. And then, of course, they make the field goal, make it 13-7. We miss the field goal. They would have made it 13-10. And then we get a chance, another chance, and we get a pick. And what a great job Brian Lanier did. But, again, you look up here at the half, and it's like, hey, we're down 13-7. And we're just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. They're not stopping us. We're doing it. And that's the thing that just kind of blows my mind a little bit. It's like that last possession for us would have been basically been us salting the game away if we had been more efficient offensively in the first half. All those plays matter. Defense comes out in the 3rd quarter and they get you a stop on 3 and out. What do you know? We do the same thing. You trade punts, get another punt, we punt it back, and then they go up 13-7. They go up 20-7. Early in the 4th quarter, this drive began in the 3rd quarter. So it's 20-7, and right now I'm feeling like the game is over. But instead, you know, all of a sudden we kind of find some urgency. We go down and we score, and then you know what? They kick a 53-yard field goal to make it a 2-possession game with under 12 minutes to go. And now you think maybe it's over, but no, it's not. It's not over. Again, we put together a great drive, 13 plays, 75 yards. Booth gets it in the end zone. We're down 2. And so this incredible drive here, and I want to highlight this, because how many times last year, and we never really were this tight late, but how many times last year when you just, in the 4th quarter, you're like, you got to score, and you got them on the ropes a little bit. If we can just get a stop, We got a chance to win this ball game, and you didn't get to stop. Well, you do here, right? Now, they're just trying to run clock here and burn your timeouts. We managed this defensively about as well as we could. So, on first and 10, Bo off the left side for four, and he was really good. All right, 2-minute timeout. Second and 6, Bo again up the middle for 5. Going to make a very manageable 3rd and 1. We call timeout. And I'm thinking, okay, surely they'll just run the dive here. But no, we're pinching, and they decide, you know what, we're going to run the naked boot. And Brylon Lanier absolutely destroys DJ Lagway. It was no shot at all in this play. Loss of 7 yards. You take the timeout, and you got a real opportunity here. And I was like, I saw some people, you know, kind of talking a little about some of this stuff too. I thought we managed that part of it pretty well. So 45-yard punt, and then we get it at 28, and they're, you know, basically 40 yards between us and our first SEC win since October of 2023. And again, first and 10 from our 28, and what do you know? Blake Shapen runs that quarterback draw and just kind of rides Cannon Boone down the field 18 yards. And I'm thinking, guys, we're already at midfield with a minute 21 to go. We're going to get it. We're going to get this. We're going to make it happen. Get it out to Evans. 1 yard out of bounds. 2nd and 9. Take a shot to Brennan Thompson. I'm in favor of that. They break it up. 3rd and 9. Possession play here. We get it out to Booth, who really makes some nice plays in space. And it's a 1st down. And now we're in plus territory. It's 1st and 10 at their 43 with 51 seconds to go. And I'm thinking, you know what? We're fixing to win the football game. Get it out to Evans for 6. And on 2nd and 4, with 39 seconds left, we get it out to Evans for 8. 1st down. 1st and 10 at the Florida 29. We get a little bit loose here. And Blake Shapen gets flushed and runs ahead. And I saw people being critical, like of us burning a timeout. What else are we supposed to do? I mean, you talk about not running the football play. Guys, it's 1st and 10 at their 29. We get a play of no gain. We got to get everybody organized. We got timeout left. So you burn the timeout there. You have to. I mean, you basically take a sack right there, basically. The only thing is you didn't lose any ground. So we take the timeout. And this is, I guess, kind of what shakes me up here. Is it 2nd and 10, so you've had plenty of time to think about this. It's not like you're on the rush, right? It's not like there's tempo to have to worry with here. And then we throw the pick. And it kind of boggles my mind. I would have run the football, and I would have set up a field goal attempt, and I would have put my trust in Kyle Ferry. And listen, I know Kyle's missed a couple this year, but he's been a very dependable kicker for us. But the reality of it is we kind of took it out of his hands. And so, you want to criticize the play call? I guess that's true. I want to criticize the execution of said play call. The bottom line is I'm just angry we lost. But it didn't come down to that play. I think in many respects we lost the game in the 2nd quarter. At the end of the 1st and the 2nd, when we had them on the ropes and we didn't land those haymakers. And then we're chasing the game the rest of the way. But let's look quickly, just kind of inside the numbers here. In the loss, Blake Shapen has one of his most prolific days as a Bulldog, 34 of 36, 224 yards, no touchdowns, and of course that big pick. He was sacked 4 times. Most of those were on the offensive line. Davin Booth, a big game for him, 22 carries for 105 yards. Blake Shapen gets just 1 yard. A lot of flush attempts there. Xavier Gayton, 6 for 27, and of course that huge fumble. And Camario, 5 of 13. As a receiver, Brennan Thompson, 7 of 155, and Anthony Evans, 11 catches for 107 yards. It's pretty clear that we're going to just feed those guys. I like that aspect of it, but we've got to finish drives. To finish drives is how you finish ball games. And sometimes late, hey, you made some mistakes along the way. The ball's in your hands. You got to find a way to make a play to end it. And Brylon Lanier, one of the best. If we win this game, Brylon Lanier may be your SEC Defensive Player of the Week, right? 8 tackles in the ball game, 2 interceptions, a pass breakup, and that huge sack. Isaac Smith back to action there, had 6. Jerron Manning, a handful of guys just kind of spread this thing around. But at the end of the day, we lose. And listen, I can sit here and tell you, you know what, we've made a lot of progress. And we have. We have made a lot of progress. We have. But it's about winning the game. At the end of the day, it's about winning the game. And we get so caught up in everything else, You know, I think a lot of that stuff, too, is like we just want to find something to be right about. We want to find a cause to get behind. You know, we feel like, hey, well, this is it. Like, this is the, you know, this is the magic formula, you know, to kind of flip this thing around. It's not. There's no shortcut. There's no switch to flip. The bottom line is this, is you have to win games. You have to win games. Now, yeah, we can argue we've made a lot of progress, but in order for us to really consider this year a success, we've got to get to a bowl game. And the thing that irritates you the most, at least for me, is you don't get that Florida team very often. You don't get a chance to go on the road in the swamp and come home with a huge win at one of college football's historic venues. We did in 2010. Wasn't a great offensive performance back then either, but we found a way to win. Defense made the play, and of course, what happens? Florida attempts a field goal. They don't get it, but at least they had the opportunity. And that's the thing that I go back to. We should have managed that. I disagree with the play call. I disagree with our whole mode of operation there. I'm not a college football coach. I'm just a guy that covers college football and other sports. But the reality of it is that's what I would have done. Now, if you or I were calling the plays, we never would have been in that position anyway, right? It's easy to look at the microcosm and say, well, I would have done this differently. Well, how would you have gotten us down there in the first place? You know what I'm saying? So we've got to have some fairness about that as well. I do believe Jeff Labby is on the right track. I do think this could be a turning point in many respects for this team and hopefully for this coaching staff in the respect that, you know, we have really got to just hammer down quality execution earlier in ball games because it's coming back to haunt us. You go back to the Tennessee game, right? A chance to win it in regulation, and we couldn't execute. You know, sometimes the moment is too big for you. And the thing that I've learned, winners win. Right? Winners win. Winners find a way to win in those situations. There are a lot of other people that hope to win. They hope that the other team will lose. I'm of the thought that you got to go beat them. You got to go beat them. You can't just sit around waiting for them to make a mistake. And ultimately, I think we overthought it a little bit, and we're the ones that made the big mistake. All right, time for today's close with Blair, player of the day. I think we got to go with Brennan Thompson, who was certainly a difference maker in the ball game. Would like to have seen him had an opportunity a couple more times. But let's thank Blair Chandler, our buddy, you know, close to Blair.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Save this number in your phone as mortgage guy because you never know when you're going to need him. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Sometimes life throws you a curveball. Maybe you need to refinance, consolidate some debt. I don't know your needs. Maybe perhaps the dream of home ownership has eluded you. You can reach out to him at closetheblair.com and get all the information you need to make your dream a reality. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know in mortgage loan origination is Blair Chandler. A Bulldog through and through, multiple sports season ticket holder, has a place here in town. Getting married sometime soon. I was not invited, but they have promised I can dance at the reception. So you never know. We'll see how things go. Closetheblair.com. Yeah, Brennan Thompson, big game for him. And obviously, Jeff Lebby knows what he's looking for in the portal. We have kind of hit pretty hard on these portal wide receivers. And I don't think we'll ever have that problem as long as Lebby is here as far as finding receivers that can play in this offense. So, Brennan Thompson, our close with Blair, player of the day. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's Kalido Guitars.com. Happy that some of you have patronized this Mississippi State business. Love getting those testimonials. I can give you a personal testimonial as well and tell you that it's not just an advertisement. They really mean what they say. They are committed to giving you the best guitar experience possible. That includes setting those guitars up in a very professional way. A lot of people just go pull them off a rack and ship them to you, and you can let you fend for yourself. Maybe you can do that, but I think it's a step further to ensure the quality of your purchase, to make sure that you are completely satisfied. Visit KalidoGuitars.com today and begin shopping for yourself, whether you're a beginner or a professional, and anything in between, any skill level in between. They have guitars that can make you a better player, simply as put. You know as well as I do, the better equipment you have, the better you play. You can get gig bags, cases, all the accessories, all the trimmings you need to be a professional grade guitar player. So, whether it's acoustic, classical, electric, you can find it all at ColitoGuitars.com. They're going to give you some incentive to do business with them. Promo code BSR. You can use it in person at their showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas. You can use it over the phone, or you can use it online. You know the code well. It's BSR, right? That gets you a 10% discount right out of the gate. It gets you free shipping and no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition to that, they will make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. What a great incentive to do business with a Mississippi State-owned and operated company, Kalito Guitars. Be sure and frequent them and their website in the days ahead. As you know, it's just over 2 months away from Christmas. You would make the guitar player and your family extremely happy with a brand new rig. Check them out today, Kalito Guitars. Okay, the bride hit me up yesterday. She does that often, and said, hey, have you heard this new Nothing More cover of a Nine Inch Nails song? I don't know that she knew that it was a Nine Inch Nails song. I think she thought it may be a Nothing More original track, and it's great. It is. So it got me thinking, and so here we are. Top 10 covers of Nine Inch Nails songs, and there's several of them out there. A lot of people have done Head Like a Hole and Closer. There's a lot of kind of wild renditions of all that stuff. But I picked one, right? One song covered by one band to comprise our top 10 list. So you're going to get 10 different bands doing 10 different Nine Inch Nails songs. And I love Nine Inch Nails. I have from the beginning. I had a discussion with a guy this weekend. I was in Houston, Texas, I believe. And I was back in my Cervelo days, and this guy he said, hey, I think you would enjoy this. He gives me a cassette. I go plug it in on the way home. And it was an early recording of Pretty Hate Machine. Little did we know that was going to become a legendary album and ultimately paved the way for Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Very influential band. They kind of ushered in a new era of industrial music. If I get in ever officially again, I think that's the route I'm going to go. But number 10, it's a band that I was somewhat unfamiliar with. It's Horse the Band. Are you familiar with Horse the Band? I'm not. They did March of the Pigs, of course, you know, off the Downward Spiral. A lot of percussion in that one. March of the Pigs, your number 10 track. Number 9, sticking with pigs. A much different take on a Nine Inch Nails classic. It's St. Vincent covering Piggy. Much, much different. I think you'll enjoy it. They kind of make it their own. It's somewhat true to the original, so the Nine Inch Nails purist, you can enjoy that, but also a very different composition. All right, number 8, a band that has had a lot of notoriety, great party band. They stay on the road all the time. I don't know how they ever record new music. They are constantly touring, which is the only way you make money these days in music. But we're going to go with Buck Cherry's version of Head Like a Hole. It's number 8. I don't think there are a lot of great renditions of Head Like a Hole. AFI did one maybe 20 years ago. It wasn't bad. Kind of hard to find that one, and it's not on Spotify, so it didn't make our list. So we're going to go with Buck Cherry's version. Number 7, a band that I saw at the Signal in Chattanooga. It's a band called Era, and they did an incredible version of Heresy, and I think you're going to really dig this one too. It is much more true to the original than some of the other renditions we have, but I think that's one you'll have some fun with. And number 6, and God bless the soul of Wayne Static, man. And his beautiful wife was so overcome with grief after he passed away that she too took her own life. But their version of Terrible Lie off Pretty Hate Machine will kind of scratch you where you itch. I think you'll dig that one. Number 5, and again, we could have gone a lot of different versions of Closer, right? And a lot of young people don't know this song. Very, very controversial at the time. Very, very, very controversial. Now, not so much so. And a lot of people have covered it. And it is one, let's just say, of primal passion. But we're going to go with Asking Alexandria's version of closer. Closer, you get me closer to God. Yeah, and that was part of the problem, right, of the song. It's a song that is, maybe about primeval urges and then a kind of equated in a religious way that some people found offensive. Number four, absolutely love this. Love it. Love the original. It's one of the most depressing songs in the history of mankind, but it's also one of true authenticity. It's something I can never have. And a lot of bands have covered this one. The one that we're going to go with, though, is Flyleaf. And a little different deal, obviously. But I think when you listen to it, you will hear some things in their version of it that I think kind of highlight kind of the darkness in the song. Number three, and this is where Nothing More comes in. Of course, the bride says it should be number one. She has a little bit of case of recency bias when it comes to these things. I love her just the same. But it's Nothing More's version of We're In This Together. Yeah, I absolutely love this track. I have always loved this song. I currently think that this is going to be a number one track for Nothing More. And what's interesting, too, for those of you that are into such things, you can find We're In This Together EP, okay? And there are six tracks on this. I have not listened to all of them. This just came out 4 days ago. But they do an 8-bit version of We're In This Together. Yeah, so it sounds like video game console. But anyway, I'll dive into the rest of this. I love Nothing More. I have for a long time. I've met Johnny Hawkins, the whole band. Super cool guys, man. Based out of Baton Rouge in San Antonio. You know, they call both places home. But yeah, we've seen them several times, and what an incredible show. If you've never seen Nothing More, whether you're familiar with the catalog or not, you owe it to yourself to go. It's very theatrical. Those guys are really into what they do. So again, kind of the impetus of our top 10 list today, Nothing More is We're In This Together. Number two, and I suspect many of you didn't know this song existed, at least this version of it. And we're going back to the Broken album, and it's one of my favorite tracks of all time from the Nine Inch Nails catalog. And again, a lot of controversy with this one, too. You know, there was a line in there that they couldn't play on MTV, and rightfully so, because it features the F word. But Linkin Park did a live version of this. And Linkin Park traditionally played a lot of covers to kind of pay homage to some influences of theirs. And obviously, Trent Reznor was one of them. So they did Wish. And if you've never heard it, and granted it's a live version, so the sound quality is not as great as it would be in the studio, but I think it's a song you're going to have a lot of fun with. Linkin Park's version of Wish. And many of you that know Nine Inch Nails know exactly what number one's going to be. Some of you that know country music may not even know that it was a Nine Inch Nails song. But was it Rick Rubin? Yeah, Rick Rubin had the idea to have Johnny Cash cover a lot of modern-day rock songs. And one of the ones he recommended was Hurt from Nine Inch Nails. And I've seen some interviews with Johnny. He was somewhat reluctant to do it. Ended up meeting Trent Reznor, did the song. I think Johnny's version is actually a little more emotional, if that makes sense. I mean, obviously, Trent Reznor was in a very bad place when he wrote this song. But I think there's some real vulnerability in Johnny Cash's version. And so I vote that to be the number one Nine Inch Nails cover song of all time. Now, there are more to come, right? And I think what's interesting, too, about Nine Inch Nails is there's so many people today. They're basically doing what Trent Reznor did. So we talk about Nine Inch Nails. It's Trent Reznor, and he is like a modern-day composer. And so when he wrote Pretty Hate Machine, it was basically him. And then he would feed all this stuff through computers, and he would alter sound, and he would mix things the way that he could. He was ahead of his time. But if you listen to modern rock today, there are so many people using some of those same tricks. And every bit of that traces back to Nine Inch Nails. Every bit of it. And so I would venture to say that while there are a lot of talented musicians out there, there are a lot of people currently in the rock scene that are really just kind of, and I hate to use the term ripping off, but that's really the case. They're basically taking the Nine Inch Nails model and then kind of modernizing things. And of course, with the advancements in technology, it makes it a lot easier. You got to think Trent Reznor did not have all of these things when this thing kind of came to be. The internet wasn't even invented yet when Pretty Hate Machine came out. And I would bet you I was probably the only guy in Mississippi that had a copy of Pretty Hate Machine in the beginning. I probably had the first copy of Pretty Hate Machine. Just dumb luck, right? Little did we know it was going to be one of the most influential albums in rock music history. And it was kind of, and I've got it around here somewhere. And so it wasn't, you know, fully mixed. It was basically kind of a glorified demo version that he was out shopping. And it was right before he got signed. And it was so cheaply made. But you could hear the magic in the music even back then. You knew that Trent Reznor had something. And, of course, nobody even knew who Trent Reznor was. It was just this band, Nine Inch Nails. And, of course, Nine Inch Nails comes from, you know, the old Coffin Nails, right? The old Coffin Nails supposedly were 9 inches. And that's how they sealed coffins. So that's where that comes from. But anyway, thought those of you from my generation that kind of grew up enjoying Nine Inch Nails, and I think everybody should. It's some of it's really hard. Some of it's very emotional. The Nine Inch Nails song that I've always wanted to cover is Sin. If you don't know Sin, it's off Pretty Hate Machine. I think you'll enjoy that. A little more of an up-tempo dance track. Some wild sampling involved in all that. And I think that's what made Trent such a genius, is that he could take just kind of very household sounds and then turn them into instrumentation, right? That's the thing. It's just so incredible to me. He's a genius. He truly is. And I don't know that he gets enough credit for what he's done for music. And yes, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and kind of revered the world over. But I don't know that this new generation has fully embraced Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails. So when you go out and you listen to Bad Omens and Sleep Token and all those kinds of band, they're basically in the same vein. They may not be as angry, but they're kind of following the same model. So if you have ideas for a top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic67, or you can try to hit me up, but I don't always get those notifications. That's not me flexing. That's just the truth. Roy doesn't have quite as many followers and as much social media traffic, and that's not a shot at him. He's my buddy. But it just makes it a little cleaner when you go to him, because he's going to get it and he'll text me. He'll screenshot it, text me, and we'll put you in line. We'll put you in the pool. But yeah, really good week last week. I appreciate everybody's contributions to the show, and certainly my buddy Roy Samanti. It was his idea to put the top 10 list on Spotify. And I got to give a shout out to Gordon Griffin. He did it in the beginning before Roy kind of took over. So I appreciate everybody that just kind of makes this a little funner to deal with, right? The reality of it is this show sometimes can be a real bear, you know, like days like today. I mean, you know, I'd love to be able to just kind of take a day, but, you know, I've got obligations, and it's kind of how I'm built. And the truth of the matter is I kind of heal by talking, which it's one of those things, too, that I think it took my wife and I maybe 10 years to kind of negotiate. Like, when she's upset, she likes to retreat and just kind of stew. And I'm different. Like, I heal by talking. I like to talk things out. And so it's kind of difficult when you've got one person that wants to pursue and another person that wants to retreat. And so it takes a lot to figure those things out. But, you know, sitting around talking about this stuff makes me feel better. As you guys have seen recently, I have brought back the I Am Steve R podcast. Did 2 episodes last week. We'll get to one this week. That's my commitment to myself, is that I want to do at least once a week. And we'll get back to that. My current plan is to do one on the sixth step. And so the older episodes are there. You can go back and listen to them. We started a step study and got to step 5. And then I kind of lost my way for a while on that show. So now we've brought that back. So again, a lot of people have commented and said, Steve, I love it when you talk about real life stuff. It's a 30-minute show, and that's all that I talk about is like real life stuff. And if you're in recovery, I recommend it. What's interesting, too, is when I first started doing that recovery podcast, I started having people that would hit me up from all over. And there'd be a lot of opportunities to go speak in recovery. Matter of fact, that kind of led to me going to Columbia, South Carolina, and speaking there, you know, and had an opportunity to speak to a packed house of about 200 people. And it was an incredible experience. But it's about carrying the message, you know, and I get so caught up sometimes in all the things that I have going on, and I have to, you know, sometimes take some time for myself to kind of tend to myself. And that's one of the things that I do. I get some windshield time. It's very therapeutic for me. I had somebody just yesterday when I was doing the movie thing say, "I'm sorry you spent all day down here." And I said, "You know, guys, I spent so much time in front of the computer and on social media. It's nice to kind of get away for a while to kind of collect my thoughts. That's why floating is a big part of my life. It allows me to kind of get a mental reset. I don't do it enough. I'll get a few aches and pains and I'll go. That's part of growing older. But I encourage you to take some time for yourself, truly take some time for yourself, because if you don't deal with things, they never really go away. They just kind of sit there and grind in the background until you deal with them. And there are some things in life that you don't get over, you just kind of get on with it. You know, it's just kind of part of it. Losing a parent is one of them, right? I mean, you just kind of accept things for as they are, but, you know, the wound is never far, right? It's like, you know, it's just like I think about, you know, Dan and I losing our first child, the stillbirth in 94. You know, if I let myself, I can get right back into that place very quickly. You know, sometimes I'll just put on some music from around that time that kind of ministered to me. But, you know, the past is never far. It really isn't. It's never, ever far. And so I think it's important. And take this from a guy that when I was in treatment, one of the things that I would say that I did wrong, and you'd say, "But Steve, you know, you've been clean and sober almost 34 years." Well, yeah, that, a lot of that's kind of post-treatment center work with a sponsor and in the rooms and some prayer and meditation on my own. But I was just so ready to get out of there. I did not fully utilize the counseling services that were available to me, you know. And that's the one thing I tell people when I go back and speak. Don't leave any dirty laundry untendered. When you leave treatment, have everything out in the open. No matter how embarrassing you may think it may be, you know, just get it all out there. Because that's what happens is like you get this little voice in your head. And I think it's the voice of evil. I really do. Because, you know, I'm a firm believer in good versus evil. Absolutely. And part of that, I think, is like, you know, the evil voice is in your head. And a lot of people, you know, reference Satan. You know, that's the devil. Or that's the world or whatever. Sometimes we sanitize all that. I think you do yourself a disservice when you go through anything therapeutic to hold anything back, because you're allowing the evil forces of this world to have a foothold in your soul. That's why I think it's so important just to get everything out. It's so cathartic. It's so cleansing just to get everything out. I mean, how many things are you living with right now that you wish you could tell somebody, but you're afraid they're going to judge you, right? And so when you're in a therapeutic environment, it is a safe space, as the kids like to say. You have an opportunity to say what you need to say. And it's really hard for men sometimes to just say, "You know what, this really, really, really did me in. It really did me in," because we don't ever want to admit weakness. And so I share that with you. So if you're in that type of environment, or maybe you need to be, you know, maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's a best friend. And listen, you got to, you know, I like to have people that have to sign like a non-disclosure agreement or a confidentiality agreement that they don't share that information, because I'm paranoid and I don't trust a lot of people. But everybody needs somebody you can tell everything to. And I can tell you there's just so much of this, man, in the pathology of suicide. There's so much of this when people feel they don't have anybody to turn to. They feel like nobody will understand. You know, they're dying of terminal uniqueness, and it helps to have somebody. Because what happens, I can't count how many people have, like, they'll tell me something, and I'll be like, "Oh, yeah, I've done that." Like, what? I was like, "Oh, yeah, I know what that's all about." And that's what happens when we have connection with people, right? That's the good side and the good versus evil. You know, connection and love and understanding and community, those are the things that win. It's isolation. And it's trying to convince you that nobody could ever love you or nobody could ever forgive you, you know. And the truth of the matter is even if they can't, you need to get it off your chest. I'm not saying just go dump all your trash on somebody else's front yard. But if you owe somebody amends, try to make them, whether they accept them or not, because the longer you live with that stuff, it just kind of eats away like a cancer. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and you know what? They love us back. They do. But why do we love them? Because they have the things we want. We cannot get enough Mississippi State merch. Whether you're looking for apparel, gift ideas, or anything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. I encourage you, the next time you're in town, go by and visit with them. You'll be glad you did, right? You will be. You'll be glad you did because, number one, they're great, and they have this great selection. If shopping day is a difficult game day is a difficult shopping day for you, if I can get it out, or perhaps you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathy Brown, everybody there will do a tremendous job making sure you get your purchases delivered to you on time. Now, as I have shared before, Christmas is just over 2 months away. Be the mom that is proactive. Go ahead and kind of get things lined up now. I know we don't start with that. Well, Steve, you know, we got Halloween, we got Thanksgiving. I get it. But don't put yourself in a situation where you have less to choose from later and you can't get everybody maybe exactly or close to what they want. Let's be proactive and let Campus Bookmart help you with that. Visit campusbookmart.net and use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75, and you order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's take a quick look back at the weekend that was. Wild game in Arkansas. A&M wins it. They're 7-0. They also got fined $50,000 for faking an injury. I'm glad to see that they're actually using that. Arkansas now drops to 2-5, but man, what a wild game. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch this. It's been busy. You know, we got back about 6 o'clock Sunday morning from Gainesville. Got a few hours sleep, went right back to work for the Bulldog people. So I hadn't had a chance to watch this one. I'll probably watch it tonight or tomorrow, but A&M, number 4 in the country, and again, 7-0, 4-0 in the SEC. We'll talk about standings a little bit later in the segment. But I didn't expect Arkansas to be able to score with the proficiency they did against that A&M defense, which has been outstanding. Marcel Reed, pretty good game for him, 23 of 32 for 280 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, again, sometimes you got to win ugly on the road. They do, and again, it was maybe an offensive masterpiece, but you know, give Arkansas a little credit. They were down late and then made it a one-score game, just couldn't close out the deal. And again, I still hear that Bobby Petrino is not getting that job. We'll see how things go. But in the 2 weeks that he has been the head coach, they have scored with much greater proficiency. At the end of the day, though, they have lost both of those games. So we're not going to grant Bobby Petrino grace that we wouldn't extend to Jeff Lebby. Fair enough, Bulldog fans? And again, Arkansas now 2-5, 0-3 in the SEC. Be interesting we go up there in 2 weeks. Ole Miss suffers their first loss of the year. And a crazy game, too, man. We talk about Georgia being closers. You know, there are teams that close and there are teams that can't. And you've seen it all year long. You know, Georgia will let you kind of dilly-dally around for a while, but when it gets to the fourth quarter, they're crossing the finish line alone. We're on the row at Florida, and I'm seeing, man, that Ole Miss is up like 9 points in this game, 35-26, and I'm thinking, well, they've got to deal with that. But no, Georgia scores 17 unanswered in the fourth to win this game, 43-35. Georgia 6-1 on the season, 4-1 in the SEC. Ole Miss drops 3-1 in the league and 6-1 overall. So we need Ole Miss to drop at least one more before they get here and we beat them. Tennessee and Alabama, this went pretty much as I expected. Tennessee's a really good team. They're not as good as Alabama in Tuscaloosa. It always seems like if Tennessee's going to get them, it's typically in Knoxville. The pick six right before the break, like we're getting ready to go down to postgame, we see it happen live on TV. It's going to be a very, very interesting game at that point, and then that kind of gave Alabama the separation they needed to kind of close this thing out. They basically trade scores the rest of the way, and Alabama wins 37-60. And again, you go back to week one when Alabama lost to Florida State, people had the Tide dead and buried. Now they're 6-1 and 4-0 in the SEC and controlling their own destiny to get to the SEC title game. Nobody putting for sale signs in Kalen DeBoer's yard now. LSU, one of the ones that we missed, The boss man went 6-2 last week, but this is one we miss. We missed the Arkansas A&M game because I picked A&M to win and cover. Vanderbilt, is Vanderbilt going to the playoffs? Think about that for a second. Now, that honestly, that should give you some hope as a Bulldog. If Vanderbilt can do it, certainly we can. But, man, this LSU offense is just terrible. I mean, it really is. LSU now 5-2 overall, 2-2 in the SEC. Of course, they lost to Ole Miss. Their defense keeps them in games. They just don't have enough firepower offensively to win. It's pretty crazy. Did you ever expect that? I expected them to be much better on offense, and I'm sure Brian Kelly did as well. But things aren't good. They're not going to find Brian Kelly this year. I mean, it's not going to happen. Yeah, but Garrett Nussmeier, 19 of 28, 225 yards passing, a couple touchdowns. Pavia, doing the deal, man. Doing the deal. One of the most special players in Vanderbilt history. I think that's fair to say. But, man, you look up there at the break at 17-13, and then in the second half, Vanderbilt gets separation in the third and does just enough to hang on there in the fourth to win 31-24. Oklahoma, I expected this to be a better game. Yes, we picked Oklahoma to win and cover. I expected this for South Carolina to put up more of a fight, especially being at home. But Oklahoma takes care of business. 6-1 overall, 2-1 in the league. Now, they win that game 26-7. It's 14-7 at the break, and it's all Sooners the rest of the way. They get a safety there in the fourth quarter to kind of cap the scoring. Gamecocks now 3-4 overall and 1-4 in the SEC, and I still believe there's a pathway for South Carolina to reasonably get bowl eligible. You could say, but Steve, of course there's a pathway. There's five games left. Yes, but I think there are some games that they should have the ability to win, Coastal Carolina being one, and we'll see what happens with Clemson. And you find a way to pick off one more. They got to win three of the last five, but it's certainly possible. Missouri wins and covers on the Plains in Auburn. And it's an interesting dynamic. I remember just 2 weeks ago, people were like, yeah, big couple weeks coming up for Auburn. And they drop them both. But, man, if you look at this Auburn schedule, it is, like, so crazy. Like, all coaches talk about, you know, we're close, we're close, we're close. The reality of sports is this, is either you win or you don't. But what's interesting is it's excruciating to go through this and you start picking apart. We make this play, we win. This call goes our way, we win. Again, they open up 3-0. They lose at Oklahoma by 7 on a game that the offense just simply did not show up. They go to A&M, offense gets obliterated too, but they lose by 6. Then the Georgia game, they're up 10-0, they lose 20-10, and now they lose to Missouri 23-17. So every loss, 10 points or less. Now, they get to go to Arkansas this week. I'm happy about that for us because I think in some respects that could be kind of a – Auburn's a very physical football team. Arkansas is too. And so this could be a kind of a tenderizing moment. But you got two guys in Bobby Petrino and Hugh Freeze that both really need this win. Who's been better offensively? Who's playing at home? Maybe we're forecasting our pick there. Then they host Kentucky, Auburn does. Now, that's a game, too, you look at. You say, you know what? Kentucky is so bad offensively, and they have to go on the road. That's got to be a game you win. Then you got to go to Vandy. I don't think you can count that one. And then there's Mercer. And then there's the Iron Bowl. And so then you start thinking about this. What happens at Auburn if they don't make a bowl game? That's a tough sell, man. It's a tough sell. I mean, it truly is. When you begin to think, everybody wanted Hugh Freeze. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people said, oh, yeah, Hugh Freeze will be back. Hugh Freeze will be back, and he's going to be back in the SEC. He's going to do a great job. And the results aren't there. And I saw him out there yesterday. He was asked about getting a vote of confidence from John Cohen, and he hadn't got it yet. But here's the thing you look at. Like, you have to look at the totality of the situation. If Auburn finishes the year 5-7, that will be three consecutive losing seasons in the Hugh Freeze era. And they are 5-14 in the SEC. 5-14 in 3 years. You can't keep him. You can't. And I understand it's a difficult landscape out there in the coaching carousel. I get it. But you're Auburn. And there's no way you can bring a guy back with three consecutive losing seasons. I'd have to do some research on that. That hasn't happened in the modern era. And so those are the things that I think about. You know, we talk about how crazy things have gotten. They can get worse. Let's take a quick look ahead at next week, and this coming week. I love this time of year. I know you guys do too. It feels like when you're winning, it's like you can't play enough. And then like when you're losing, it's like it feels like it takes forever to get to game day. All right, so big game, 11 a.m. on ABC. Ole Miss visits Oklahoma. Sooners favored by 4.5. Mateer starting to get healthy. You know, Oklahoma going to have to stop that running game. It'll be an interesting game for sure. And we'll give you the pick on Friday. But it's just this. If you're a Mississippi State fan, you're pulling hard for Oklahoma, right? You truly are. Because that would give Ole Miss a second loss. And then you'd think one more loss likely eliminates them from playoff contention. I'd love for that loss to be in Starkville. And again, how motivated are they going to be after back-to-back losses? You know, we'll see. Auburn is at Arkansas. We've discussed that. Arkansas favored by 2.5. Over-under is 57.5. And I think one of the reasons it's that low, and that's not necessarily low, is because of Auburn's anemic offense. You know, Green at Arkansas has been phenomenal. 1,910 yards, 17 touchdowns against 5 interceptions as a passer. And I think Bobby Petrino is putting him in a great situation to be successful. Now, the Auburn defense is good. That's kind of been overshadowed by this 3-4 start. But the Auburn defense is good. So I'm interested to kind of see, you know, kind of what they do, what Durkin and those guys do against this Bobby Petrino offense now with 2 weeks of tape to review. Alabama's at South Carolina. Tide are getting 11.5 on the road at Williams-Brice. But it's an afternoon game. But everything's tougher at night. But again, you start talking about South Carolina. They're running out of opportunities, and I don't think this is a good one for them to get a win. If they could, it would change everything, right? Give you a lot more optimism about the season. But you get through this one, and then you've got back-to-back road trips to Ole Miss and A&M, and you have Coastal and Clemson. That's tough, man. And again, you're 3-4. You got to find a way to get three to get to a bowl game. What three outside of Coastal Carolina? Who would you pick South Carolina in? You know, Clemson's got to come to town, but it's 11 a.m. game, and I think really that it's a defining stretch these next 3 weeks. Three top 10 opponents for South Carolina. I don't think they're going to make bowl eligibility. Missouri at Vanderbilt. This may, if I told you beginning of the year this would be a marquee game, you wouldn't have believed it. But here we are. Missouri ranked 15th. Vandy ranked 10th. Both teams 6-1 and 2-1 in the SEC. Vanderbilt favored by 2.5 in this game. You know, we listened to the end of the Missouri-Auburn game as we're driving back. Listened to the end of Texas-Kentucky and flipped over to that. Listened to that. Thank God for that Varsity app. But there's just some grit with both of these teams, Missouri and Vandy. I think offensively it's pretty even. So I think whoever can get a stop somewhere along the way will be the victor in this game. We'll talk more about that on Friday. And, of course, Texas opens up at an 8.5-point favorite over Mississippi State. It's down to 6.5. It's down to 6.5. So it's under a touchdown. If I could have got it at 8.5, I probably would have. Over-under in this game is 44.5. I think that's probably accurate. I do expect a low-scoring game. I think if you're Mississippi State, you almost want it to be in the teens. It may be a game first one of 20 wins. Blake Shapen got to take care of the football. This Texas pass rush, elite. Texas linebackers, elite. Secondary, really good. Offensively, not so much. Arch Manning really, really struggling. Really struggling. And they're a little bit banged up at running back, too. So we'll kind of see how things go. Do they want to involve Arch a little more in the running game? You know, that's kind of taking a risk. And you're a 5-2 team. It's not like you're out of anything. But they got to come in here looking to win this game. Texas A&M at LSU. A&M road favorites, 2.5 points. That'll fire up the Tigers. LSU ranked 20th now. And let's be honest, that's basically out of reputation. That's not based on the body of work this year. There's no way anybody that's watched LSU play this year thinks that's a top 20 team, unless you live in Louisiana, and I got a lot of friends that do. They're not the most objective. But let's be honest about that. 5-2, ranked number 20, I just don't see it. I don't think they're a top 20 team, and I think they'll drop out this week and may stay out. A&M needs to win this game to keep their playoff hopes and SEC title chase alive. But that'll be a great night game. And, of course, I'm happy we have an afternoon game. We can get home and watch the end of this thing. A lot of you guys will watch it at tailgate. Tennessee at Kentucky. Volunteers favored by 9.5. And, I don't know if you guys keep up with this stuff or not. I'm a fan of the league. I love Mississippi State, but I'm a fan of the league, too. I like to see other teams play, whether we play them or not, because the talent level and the quality of play in the SEC – more times than not, just exceeds what everybody else has. I don't know how you see it, but that's just, when I watch those old Pac-12 games, they're not as good. Like, they're fun, right? But they're not great games a lot of times. But what's interesting, the reason I bring that up is, like, I'll watch this Tennessee and Kentucky game. I'll flip back and forth. Tennessee has won 4 straight in this series. And they have played a ton of times. 84 wins for Tennessee, 26 for Kentucky, and 9 ties. Yeah, you can kind of do the math on that and realize that's one of those long-standing series in SEC play. But it hadn't always meant a lot. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's kind of one of those games that kind of flies under the radar. But Tennessee favored by 9.5 on the road at Lexington in a night game. And, Kentucky always makes it weird. They do. Let's take a quick look at the SEC standings. And then we're going to move on to our final segment of the show. We got some baseball recruiting stuff to talk about. We close out the show today. But it's just so interesting to me. There are so many teams kind of still in contention for something cool. And then there are some teams right now that are going to have to really battle hard to make it into bowl eligibility. All right, we don't do divisions anymore. I don't know your feelings about that, but not a huge fan of that. I like the divisions. I did. And then people argued, sometimes the second best team in the West is better than a team in the East. I get it, but, I don't know how this helps us. But anyway, we still played a championship game. So starting at the bottom, there are two teams that are already 0-4 in the league. That's Kentucky and Auburn. Yeah. Kentucky wasn't forecast to make a bowl game. Auburn was, but kind of by the skin of their teeth. But what's interesting to look at both of these teams is that in conference play, they just haven't been able to score. Yeah, Auburn has scored 54 points in conference play, which is dead last in the SEC. I'm doing John's job for him right here. Dead last in the SEC in 4 games, right? Mississippi State has played 3 conference games and have scored 10 more points than Auburn has. It's true. Kentucky has played 4 SEC games and scored 63 points. There's only 2 other teams that have scored less than in that same ballpark. One of them is Texas. Yeah, but they've only played 3 games. But they're averaging 20 points a game in SEC play. And again, first one of 20 may get it done. Oklahoma, 56 points in SEC play, but they're only allowing 47. Yeah, and that's you start running these numbers down, and it's all the numbers just kind of speak to what we already know. Kentucky's allowed 116 points this year in SEC play, and they've been outscored by 63? Yeah, it's crazy. And you basically been doubled up. I guess it's 53. I'm not a mathematician. And Auburn's been outscored by nearly 30. And so you don't score, you don't win. Simple as that. Arkansas 0-3, and of course Mississippi State 0-3. Arkansas offensively has been much better the last couple of weeks. South Carolina 1-4, and then Florida, Tennessee, and LSU all right there together 2-2. And then there is kind of a logjam of 2-1 teams. There's Texas, Missouri, Oklahoma, Vandy. Now, those coaches are telling those guys, hey, it's all right there in front of us. It's all right there in front of us, and every one of us has a chance to control our own destiny. I don't know how accurate that is. I haven't done the math. But Ole Miss, right there at 3-1, they're giving up more points than I think you realize. But also, too, they've played that one more conference game because they had two conference games in the non-conference month, right? Most of us play a lot of non-conference stuff in September. Ole Miss had to play two SEC games in the first 3 weeks. So they only have three SEC games left. And then there's Alabama at 4-0, Texas A&M at 4-0. And so you start working through this, and the only undefeated team in the league is Texas A&M. It's right. It's true, right? But when you start working through and start thinking about, you know, what are the best possibilities for the playoff? What is the best possibilities for the SEC championship and all that kind of stuff? And I don't think you should be penalized for making your conference championship game. You know, when you finish in the league with a better record than others and they don't get to play in a championship game, you should, you know, they shouldn't benefit from you losing that game. That's my feeling. Alabama has the road trip to South Carolina, then home against LSU, home against Oklahoma, home against Eastern Illinois, and then at Auburn. Yeah, that's a pretty good schedule, right? You know, ordinarily you'd say, well, you got LSU and Oklahoma, that's two top 20 teams. But both of those games are Bryant Denny. I think if you're Alabama, you got to feel like, you know what, it's all right there in front of us. It's all right there in front of us. And maybe things are kind of coming together. And then you look at A&M. And, you know, they were in a similar position last year where they controlled their own destiny and they choked down the stretch. But if you look at the schedule, I don't know if it lends itself to an undefeated season, but I think certainly they should get in the playoffs. Road trip to LSU, you got to win that game. You have to win that game. Then you're going to Missouri. Then you get South Carolina at home. That should be a dub. Samford at home. Then you got to go to Texas. And with your defense against them, I don't know. But you look at this, and I would say at worst, A&M is going to drop two. And is that enough to keep them in the SEC championship game? Well, it depends on which two they lose. Never know what tiebreakers are going to look like. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. When you're bringing a large group to town, look no further than a Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And maybe you haven't even considered that possibility, and you should. As we opened up with our opening segment, you know, family is everything. Family is what matters most. And then there's the family you choose, right? There's your friend group. Why not get everybody together? Life is short, death is certain. Make some great memories together. Many of you are going to be traveling to Mississippi State to watch games anyway. Why not stay together? Why not plan a trip? And maybe it doesn't even have to involve a ball game. Maybe just say, you know, we got some vacation time we got to use by the end of the year. Maybe you're in one of those arrangements where you use it or you lose it, you know. And just take a midweek trip up here around the holidays and go enjoy some of your favorite shops and favorite restaurants without a lot of crowds. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can check out all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest, and also some booking options. You can go through Airbnb or VRBO. It's up to you. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. Evolve website, promo code BSR10. That's beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. Plenty of parking, full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area outside, 6 bedrooms, 2 baths. As I mentioned, it's just so much room to park. That's one of those things, too, when you're getting everybody together, you don't think about it until you get there. It's like, oh, where's everybody going to park? You don't have to worry about that there. That's the old renovated country club out past the Highlands. Plenty of parking lot space for you and your guest. No worries at all. You owe it to yourself to plan a trip today to the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, we mentioned some baseball recruiting. And, yeah, good weekend for the Diamond Dogs, which reminds me, I got to update our commitment list. Busy day yesterday. And it slipped my mind, so we'll do it here together. Actually, Davlin Daniel actually committed last week and was set to announce on Friday. Then he had a football game, and then all of a sudden, you know, things happen over the weekend. You get busy, and, you know, the bottom line is it doesn't really matter when they go public as long as they sign, right? As long as the coaches know. You know, we want to break that news, obviously. But it's one of those things when you begin to kind of break this thing down that we need as much good news as we can get, right? And This is the number one player in the state of Ohio. You know, so you may hear me typing here. We're going to do all this together. You know, we're in this thing together. Just like Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails, taught us. And a lot of outfielders headed to Mississippi State, too. And I think that's a good thing, too, as we kind of work through all this. A lot of athletic outfielders out there in this class. And I like the fact that we have a group of coaches that understand kind of how the game of baseball works. You know, it's not always about chasing recruiting rankings. It's about finding guys that fit your culture. Devlin Daniels, one of those guys. I interviewed him shortly after his visit to Mississippi State. Extremely impressed with his time here on campus. And it just kind of felt like, okay, well, this, you know, hey, he's going to visit. He visited West Virginia at Ohio State. We're going to be good. I mean, he ended up going to Georgia. You know, that's what's so crazy is you start working through all that stuff. We're in the deep water. And we are an apex predator at Mississippi State. And that's one of the things that really excites me about the Brian O'Connor era is we are recruiting and acting and conducting business like a big-time baseball program. I guess football, too. My point being is that there have been some times in the past that, you know what, maybe we said, hey, you know what, I'm going to take this guy because I know that I can get him, right? And I know that he's going to stick with me. And that's part of the deal too. You know, sometimes you got to make sure you get guys coming to school. But I don't sense any fear with Brian O'Connor. You know, he just seems to be one of those guys. It's like, hey, we are the big kid on the block. We're going to go throw our weight around a little bit. And if that's a problem for you, then that's a problem for you. But this is how we're going to do it. And I think Mississippi State people, I think one of the reasons there is so much optimism and why there is so many people that were willing to jump in a car and go to Pensacola, Florida, not just for the seafood, but to go support the Diamond Dogs, I think they see it kind of the same way that I do, is that, you know what, it feels like really for the first time in a long time, and this is not a shot at anybody else, but the bottom line is we are Mississippi State. That means something in baseball circles. It absolutely does. And I think Brian O'Connor's a guy that's like, you know what? We're going to go knock on this door, and if you don't answer, we're going to kick it down. And I think that same level of machismo is going to carry over to the field. Brian O'Connor is an incredibly intelligent guy. Also has proven to be a very good recruiter that kind of emphasizes the family construct and the developmental piece. And young men and their families are responding in a big way. Which takes us to the Saturday commitment, which proved to be the first one, right? We ended up taking Devlin into Monday when we had all this AWS outage. But Deuce Jenkins, the son of Mississippi State great wide receiver Justin Jenkins, Gumby Bulldog, and absolutely incredible young man. And his parents met at Mississippi State. How cool is that? Both of them are Bulldog alums, and had a chance to get back to campus when Deuce took his visit. And, you know, it's funny. Somebody mentioned to me, it's like, well, Justin was back for the first time in a long time. I don't understand. They live in the state. When you've got young men and young women in your family that are involved in high school sporting activities, you get it. It's tough to get to Starkville. It truly is because, you know, your life kind of becomes their life. And so I can promise you, Justin will be here a lot in the years to come. But you start looking at this class now, how it's kind of beginning to swell and build. So we open up with Sullivan Reed, third baseman, out of Meridian, Lamar School. Then you get Fisher Howell from Pedal. Great get there. He's another guy that can play infield, outfield, whatever you want. You got Carson Kinnick, who's a catcher, can also play outfield. He'd probably pitch for you if you need him to a little bit. He's got a big arm. Then you get Connor Salerno, the number one left-handed pitcher in the class. Then you get Deuce Jenkins, and he is – I don't forget the fact that he's a legacy. This is a guy that is one of the best players in the country and visited Mississippi State and Tennessee and chose Mississippi State. And then you've got Devlin Daniel, and you know, the top-rated player in the state of Ohio. So the class has now swelled to seven. Now, I'm not exactly sure how many we end up taking in this class. We're actually still chasing some 26s, and I do expect an announcement on a 26 player in the next few days. We have good information that there is going to be a new addition, but it's going to be on his timing. Going to be absolutely his timing, and we're going to respect that. But with the latest addition to the 2027 class, your Bulldogs now have the number 9 class in the country. Number 9. 5 of the top 100 players, and State's just got 7 commitments. You know, some of our contemporaries have double digits. I don't know how far we go into that. You know, there's a lot of guys, as you guys know, that last year's class that committed and then didn't sign. They were cut loose late and then kind of filtered out somewhere else. You know, LSU, Georgia, both of those programs released a lot of guys. I mean, a lot, maybe stretching a little bit, but there will be some ebb and flow between now and signing day 2027. The Bulldog 2026 class currently rated 19th. And some of that, too, is because we did not have a great class in the state of Mississippi. And, of course, we had a coaching change. But Bulldogs currently 19th. We do expect an addition or two. And what's interesting, you know, you look at these rankings, a lot of these are ranked on quantity rather than quality. Like Vanderbilt has the number one recruiting class in the country for 2026. Well, they also happen to have the most number of commitments at 23. And less than half of those are ranked in the top 100. LSU currently sitting at number 2 with 21 commitments, and less than half of those in the top 100. And Tennessee, 19 with 10 in the top 100. So from a quantity standpoint, Vanderbilt's better. I would venture to say that Tennessee probably better from a quality standpoint. So, you know, we'll see how things go. But, yeah, doing well, kind of moving along, kind of getting ready, as you guys are well aware. And you know, had the scrimmage over the weekend in Pensacola. We'll talk a little more about that on tomorrow's show, because I'll be back on Wednesday. A matter of fact, we'll go ahead and get started on that tonight, and we'll have it ready to go for you Wednesday morning. That's the plan anyway. I've got a busy day in front of us, of course, as we have to attend to some family business and go down and pay my respects to my Aunt Teresa, my Uncle Skeeter, and everybody down there. Visitation is going to start at 5. I'll go down for visitation. We'll come back and, you know, and we'll get, you know, kind of get back in the grind. You know, it's just, it's what we have to do. But the reality of it is that, you know, when these things arise, you have to go make time. But the show must go on over at jeanspage.com and here at the Boneyard. So you will get the Wednesday show on time as well as Friday, barring something totally unforeseen. You never know when life's going to happen. That's kind of where we sit today. So we'll get this show up. We'll take a little bit of a break. We'll start working on our preview of Texas. We'll kind of break down everything going on with the Longhorns. You know, Arch Manning not really playing so well right now. Quarterback play has been a bit of an adventure in Austin this year. So look for that, too. So you'll get two shows in quick succession, and then we'll be back on schedule, right? Appreciate you guys so much. If you hadn't done so, give my wife a call at 662-268-7601 at True Rest Float Spa Starkville. Or if you're a person that just needs a break, or maybe you suffer with chronic anxiety or, you know, the little aches and pains, things like that, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Come float. I need to go float, to be honest with you. I can tell. My wife can tell, too, when I need to float, too. But you owe it to yourself. And even maybe you think, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. I guarantee you know somebody that it is good for. You're going to know somebody. There's probably a mom in your life that is totally stressed out. There may be a husband, a student. There's somebody in your life, and you can buy a package for them to allow them to kind of come float their troubles away. You can visit TrueRest.com for more information and follow us on all forms of social media at True Rest of Starkville. Head on over to DutyNobleBook.com. How cool is it, man? The dude on the Mississippi bestseller list for a full year. Man, that is so cool, man. That means so much to me. It really does. To be able to tell that great story and to have the book so well received. I don't know that I've ever had a book last a full year on the bestseller list. I don't think I have. I mean, we went several months, you know, and there have been times I've had three books in the top 10. but I don't think I've had one go a full calendar year. And that is very special to me. And of all the books that I wrote, that's one of the ones that's probably the most special to me, just because it's a book that probably should have been written 50 years ago, you know, to honor the memory of the great Duty Noble. And I learned so much writing that book. Yeah, I made some mistakes along the way, but that's part of it, man. But the reality of it is you can still get signed copies. And holidays are coming up. You can complete your Steve Robertson book collection by going to DutyNobleBook.com. You get Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and, of course, the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. And a reminder, too, that if you're looking for the great gift for your smart-aleck Ole Miss brother-in-law, get him a personalized copy of Flim Flam, and you can put that under the tree, and you and I can both work together to be the Grinch that stole Christmas. Yeah. Come and join us over at jeanspage.com. You can get 30% off the annual subscription price right now. But if you'd like to have the addition of the Paramount Plus streaming platform, you can get that, too, for free. You just have to be a full-paid member. So rather than use the promo code to get 30% off, you're just going to pay the annual price, and then you're immediately eligible to view the Paramount Plus streaming platform. Of course, so many great movies on there. I'm still working through Tulsa King. I'll knock some of that out tonight. And then next month, you know, Landman, Billy Bob Thornton's back in our lives, him and the lovely Allie Larder. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, so you can get the benefit of having the best sports coverage in the history of Mississippi State and have full access to the Paramount Plus streaming platform for the same low price. Yeah, be sure and check it out. You'll be glad you did. Let's get out of here. I love each and every one of you. If nobody else has told you today that you look great and that they love you, allow me to be the first. You look great and I love you, even if nobody else does. And I want good things to happen to you and in your life. All the things that I want for myself, I want you to have for yourself. And I don't need a whole lot to make me happy. I really don't. But the reality of it is that I just want to keep doing what we do and do it at a high level and have the ability to do that maybe until we decide just to kind of hang up the keyboard someday. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.